fish. I don't have a pond, but I can sit and look at the videos. Some things that kids show me, a video that's got fish. You can see fish swimming back and forth. So, Harry, tell us about the sit spot and some of these other ways that you're able to anchor forest principles without ever having to go out into a forest.
Yeah, I think it ties into this foundational idea in our training program at EcoWisdom. What makes us unique is that we bring inclusion and accessibility as the focus. And so we challenge these dominant notions of what forest bathing or what a hike or what nature connection should look like. And we also do a whole unit on mindfulness and mindfulness meditation, nature-based mindfulness. And we talk about the nervous system. We talk about grounding ourselves. We talk about how it can sometimes be uncomfortable being still. And so we need to resource ourselves as we engage in these practices. So we talk about the sort of the psychology and the neuroscience of it, but we also talk about the beauty and pausing long enough to really take in and absorb that which is pleasant to you, and how each individual will have their own unique experience. But as we become still and we focus on becoming receptive and finding what is beautiful and then taking that in right in, and allowing it to nurture us, allowing it to soothe us, allowing it to inspire us. The sit spot is a practice where people often go to the same area, maybe the same house plant, maybe the same view out a window or in a park on a sitting maybe beside a tree. And I love doing sit spot and throughout the year because, where I live, there's four distinct seasons. And so things really shift, and the animals and the birds, the sounds and the nature sounds, the colors, the textures, the temperatures, all these things change as the seasons change. And so it's a way of becoming connected to our surroundings. And mindfulness and nature connection is a really accessible way to engage in mindfulness. As we open our senses, as we smell the scent in the air, as we reach out to touch the texture of a tree, as we take in the sunlight as it's filtering through the canopy above, all of these things, we're opening our senses. And we are becoming more and more conscious of what is present now. And when we're present to the beauty and the awe and the wonder that is in our midst, what we aren't doing is perseverating or repeating what is worrying about the future or the past. Or we're occupying the present moment, and we're receiving nurturing from nature. And we're developing a relationship with nature where we acknowledge that we receive so much from nature. And therefore, it is our joy to ensure that we're making conscious decisions about how we can care back for the earth. And EcoWisdom is geographically based out of the EcoWisdom Forest Preserve, where all of our technologies, we live off grid, so everything is powered by the sun. So we use renewable energy. So it's all tied in. And Dave Gordon, my partner and co-founder, is an ecologist and environmentalist. And so a lot of these threads come into what we're doing too. Ecology, taking care of the earth that takes care of us.
Taking care of things brings me to that word mindfulness, because mindfulness has become a pop word. There's mindfulness cologne, there's mindfulness dinners, but at its essence, when you talk about the connection between developing metta or love for a tree and developing a sense of, like noticing, can you talk a little bit about the connection between mindfulness and I think it's conscious communications? There's a word that mindfulness also means. And to kind of just break it down, because it's just become so popular that I don't know whether people have a picture of what mindfulness means.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting. It is very popular, and people have some very you know, set ways of thinking about how we do mindfulness and how we do meditation. And if we look at the neuroscience of it, we look at what happens with the brain, we can achieve similar alpha wave patterns of the brain when we're doing nature, nature connection. And for people who have trauma in their histories, sitting still can be very difficult. Closing your eyes can be very difficult, can be very, you know, triggering, you know, even it can be harmful for some people who want to be settled and calm and still, but they can't shut their eyes, or they can't not move their bodies in some ways. And of course, in our programs, we always give choice. This allows the program to be accessible and also trauma informed. So I'll just put that out there. But yeah, I think when we offer, it just as we practice receptivity, receiving, we also open our hearts to, a tree, a being. And sometimes, you know, trees are non-judgmental. Trees don't run away on us, you know. Trees watch us. They accompany us. I know trees. I know particular trees that have been in my life for decades. I go back and visit those trees, and I imagine, what do they see in me, right? They see me growing older, and growing up from being a young person. And so trees are a very safe entity to open our hearts to. And so just as we are practicing receiving, we can also practice opening our hearts to a tree being. And I think that Kim has something to add to this. Kim?
Well, thanks, Corey. I mean, I guess as a word, it's really about self-care to me. You know, if we're looking at ourselves as part of nature, we can also be more forgiving of ourselves. And one of the things that the program at EcoWisdom taught me, and one of the most important things I would say, if I took away only one thing, it would be the self-care part. And I don't know about other people, but I would say for myself, as someone who works in the field that I work in, which is rehab and social work, and as well, I would say being a female in our society today, that I feel that there's a lot more expectations on me to give to others. And I know there's at least a couple of other people who here today who play a huge role in caregiving as well. And it can be challenging at times. You know, sometimes where I find myself, I'm more critical of myself than anybody else ever would be, than a friend, a tree. You know, when I look at, for example, a plant that I'm looking at outside my window right now, I don't sit there and critically analyze it. You know, your leaves are drooping. You look like you need a glass of water, that kind of stuff, right? But why do we do that with ourselves? You know, we do, but we seem to be so more forgiving when we see other people or other beings in the natural world. And especially when it comes to trees, and, you know, my lawn's looking very dry and brown, but there's beauty and hope in everything. And when we look at, and when we apply that to ourselves, it takes time to do that, but it can be very, very useful in terms of giving us the energy that we need. If we take time to sleep or nourish ourselves, whether it could be water, could be light, it could be, you know, just getting some fresh air. And there are times when we really do need to put ourselves first, because if we don't, I've experienced this for many years. It just kind of led to really kind of a breakdown. And it took me 10 years to get back to being able to give again. But before you can give, you have to give to yourself. And that's such an important concept that I learned, and the mentor's role model to all of us. And I mean, I just feel like a whole different person after I came through the other end. Just if that's the one takeaway I take from this course, it's changed my life.
Yeah, that's an important takeaway, because in so many things, I don't know whether it just happens to women or whatever, but people will say, get your stuff together and get back in here. You know, if in the office, just a little bit's of evidence of paying attention to yourself. So I think we're holding that up. We're encouraging anyone to take a look in the mirror. During COVID time, I said, I know you're washing your hands in front of a mirror sometimes, so smile at yourself in the mirror. And really value that like the goose with the golden eggs, you are the person that's making the thing happen. So spend some time to just admire, look at, pay attention to, massage your feet. The medical role towards people who are starting to have pins and needles in their feet is to sometimes give them Lyrica or another medication that makes them sleepy, tired, overwhelms their system. That you even have to, some medications, you have to get a note from your doctor that it's okay to come off of it, where the remedy would have been either going for a massage somebody else gives you, or just while you're sitting watching TV or listening to music or sitting and watching your fish, massaging your feet. So it was a surprise to me that in the first unit of our training as guides, it was around self-care. Carrie, do you want to bring out, there are two ways anybody in the public can get to know more about the program, for the accessible wellness programs we have online or in the park or the forest bathing, and then people can get involved who want to do the six-month program. Could you explain those two and how a person would access it?
Yeah, sure. So we have a website, ecowisdom.ca, and an email address is info@ecowisdom.ca. We also have an Instagram account, and that's sort of more of my personal reflections of living in the forest. And that's at ecowisdom_forest_preserve. Ecowisdom Forest Preserve. So that's one way to reach us, and several ways to reach us. And we have two central offerings. We engage in a lot of community projects, but our two central offerings are our Accessible Nature Wellbeing programs, and they're offered either online or in person. And we have many guides now in Ontario and BC and other provinces as well, and areas of the world. So they can design a program for a particular group. So we have the Nature and Forest Therapy Guide Training Program as the second thing. And those guides are trained in the Ecowisdom model of accessible nature well-being programming. And this model has been scientifically evaluated. And the first publication we did with Dr. Kirsten McEwen, I'm so glad there will be a quantitative paper publication coming out looking at, you know, various symptom reductions, improvement in sleep and pain management and this kind of thing. But the first paper was really looking at the voices of our participants who live with disability and chronic illness, talking about the impact of the program. And based on all of that data, we developed a conceptual framework so we can better understand the impact of forest bathing using this particular Ecowisdom model on our participants. But we also do a lot of community projects. So we get contacted by, for example, researchers who want to do a study. And we bring in people like Punky, Karen Van Biesen, who has a background in sociology and disability studies, to come. And right now she's on an advisory committee for a PhD student doing some interviews with our participants. So there's lots of different opportunities for Ecowisdom and our guides to collaborate and support, whether it's working with a disability organization, an organization for seniors, or a health promotion or a creativity, creative arts organization that wants to improve nature connection and maybe improve some accessibility along the way. So there's lots of different things happening, but those two things are the central, that the programming, the accessible nature well-being programming, and then our 6-month nature guide training certification program.
And then as far as guides are concerned, aside from giving programs, guides are also able to provide services, professional services. What are some of the ways that guides offer their professional services?
Well, it's interesting to see our model is quite different in many ways. Rather than saying you have to do X or this is the vision, you will do X, we say, what is your passion? What do you love to do? What are your interests? And we support our individuals, graduates, in finding out ways to bring their knowledge base to specific situations and populations. For example, we have one guide who wants to work in palliative care. with people who are passing. We have another guide who's working on eco-stress and working with groups who are trying to, you know, really engage in social change around the climate change, but also recognizing that there's a lot of eco-stress. And so there's a real need to bring these mindful nature connection practices to those who are doing that work. And we have people who are doing programming in groups, large groups online, small groups in person, and also one-to-one. So that's another thing that we offer, is sometimes it's over the phone support with somebody who, and guiding them through, where are you now? What are you looking at? And what happens? What are you sensing in your body as you breathe in the scent of the soil right now? That kind of thing. Lots of possibilities. They're endless. It's the creative mind, Charlotte. It's the creative mind, right? This is like, it goes and goes. And really listening to what are people's desires, right? We only have this one precious life, right? What do we want? What do we? And so much of it is about connection and community and care for ourselves and caring for one another and caring for the earth.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm doing is I do workshops, but one workshop that's really popular is on creative writing in creative spaces. And I would take a group of seniors and take people to a place, and they would have a period of time where they'd have a little overview about flash writing, how to write a poem or write a chapter. And then they would observe colors that might be in the area, or observe what would be in our program now called Notice. But I have reworked it so that meditation, some of the other things that are parts of the nature, accessible nature wellness program, are in that program. But it's been a challenge then to find a way how, more than just doing the creative writing, that it's giving a person a skill and it's helping to honor their creativity. Because so many people, I'll say, I can't write. Or people have told them, I can't write. But when you're out in nature and you just say, write whatever you see about the colors or something that inspires you, people get so excited. And I've had people up to 73 who have never written anything, but they're so happy that they were allowed and so happy that they were inspired by that difference in, we say, difference in the bioavailability. There's plants, there's trees, there's rocks, there are all these different things to draw from. So I think that that's one of the wonderful things about the Eco Wisdom program and the guide program, is that it enables you to take something that you may have been doing with people to see how to intentionally build in things like the mindfulness meditations that help them feel more anchored and more empowered. I think you're shaking your head. You're agreeing. Kim, I know in mental health, you've talked about the importance of that. Have you seen that in the work that you're doing with people?
Yeah, it's really amazing to see how people, when they come out and they just feel a sense of confidence. Even when you think about someone, most of the people that I've done the A&W key sessions with, they use wheelchairs. So they're people who have, for example, cerebral palsy, spinal cord injuries. And for some of those people, just getting out of the house can be a challenge, and the transportation to the venue. And, you know, just to see the looks on people's faces when they've been there, just the feeling of, you know, accomplishment, the feeling of, you know, confidence, I got here. Bathing in nature and being at these sessions is far more than just the benefits you might get in the 1 or 2 hours. There's the lasting friendships, the social ties. It can lead to other events. With the events that I was involved in hosting, we tended to involve some other activities with that as well, just to get more interest in people coming out, but also just to give people time to connect and have and get to know each other after the sessions. It was something that was a huge void and need in some of these people's lives. And from there, we've gone on to do other events, such as maybe just fish and chips down by the ocean, playing bocce ball, or yoga in the park, that kind of thing, pizza in the park. Yeah, it's just a great way of getting people out of the house and feeling the nurturing, the benefits of nature. And most people just feel a lot more calmer. It improves their mood, and they just keep coming back. So something must be working.
Yes. Well, I was going to say, thank you for sharing the ways that it's working in your lives.
Laurel had her hand up when we were talking, and think about caregiving and self-care and Laurel, was there something you wanted to add?
I have so many things.
Yeah.
Kim was talking about how the benefits, you know, you take them away. And when I just wanted to add, when I'm talking about the sense of community and the sense of belonging and the sense of the validity of my path that I've gained, I take that with me. I take the community with me everywhere. So I don't have to be in the community to feel that belonging. That's where it comes from. But it's always with me now. And I have a much more powerful sense of my worth and value and the right I have to make choices about what I want to do. I'm not extra. I'm not other. I'm as equal as anybody. Yeah, so I take that with me. I wanted to also mention that sense of belonging that we've gained in the community is, first of all, it's fostered by a very, very careful structuring of the environment which we engage with each other. That is something that Carrie is very, very skilled in, and creating a safe space and some guidelines for how we connect with each other, contemplative communication. And the choices are always there, as Carrie mentioned. Those choices might be, well, if we're doing a body movement, you can move your eyes. And if you want, you can move your arms. And if you want, you can stand up and do it, you know. And all of these options are offered to us not as if you can, it can or cannot. They all have a valid, they all carry valid experience with them. So even if you can get up and move your arms around, we are encouraged to experience moving your eyes. So what that does is it validates the people who are using their eyes and may not be able to get up, that it's not less than, it's just another way. And that is, I think that's really the key to what makes us feel that we belong, is that the options, the ways we do things don't have to be considered alternative outside of the realm of what is normal or ordinary or acceptable or good or bad. They're all valid and have very specific benefits, no matter what they are or what they look like. The celebration of choice and difference is what gives us our sense of belonging, I think.
And if it's okay, Charlotte, I wanted to jump in, because as I hear Laurel speaking, and I think, you know, it's kind of like comparing hiking, like with a backpack and, you know, boots and hiking up a mountain, to forest bathing. And we know that forest bathing has all these wonderful benefits. And if we're just rushing up a mountain, it's not about ability or physical mobility. It's not about that. It's about becoming present, right? And I strongly believe that those of us with lived experience of disability and chronic illness who have lived with needing to slow down and learning to be slow at times, not that we aren't also doing, you know, very active things at times too, I'm thinking about my own experience. I'll just speak from my own experience, but having to slow down, having difficulty moving, having difficulty sitting upright, spending time in quiet, dark spaces for like a very long time with chronic pain, and finding these moments of pleasure in nature. I believe that those of us with these experiences, these direct experiences, are in an excellent position to lead others, whether they have a disability or not, right? We have these very unique ways of moving about the world, of finding, navigating, problem solving, but also finding pleasure, finding quality in our lives. And we can show other people techniques that work for that as well, whether they have a disability or not, or whatever type of disability they have. You know, everybody is welcome. And so many, as we discussed in the EcoWisdom guide training, we use disability to start the conversation of inclusion, but there are many forms of exclusion in our society that we continue to educate ourselves about, whether that's related to BIPOC identity or gender identity or other kinds of experiences that we all need need to consider. And again, choice is so important, and listening carefully, and letting people take a pause from the program if they need to, laying down. You know, I spent 3 years when I first acquired my disability, 3 years unable to really sit upright, unable to be out in the sunlight. I was in terrible pain and spent most of the time isolated in a room. I would have loved a program like this. And that's part of where this passion of mine comes from. This is a beautiful social connection. When I hear Kim talk about this, and, you know, before we started EcoWisdom, I was running public programs, and we would have the program, and we would have tea and snacks afterwards. People didn't want to leave, right? So, and we know from research, this is what happens. There is this empathy. People, you know, have this enlarged capacity for empathy for one another. Well, what a beautiful thing to bring into a cross-disability community or an integrated community where you have people with various experiences of the body.
And I'll just add that it's being nature and the trees and the vision and the smells and the things that we're experiencing are what create that stronger empathy for each other, right?
Yes. Yeah. It is the nature connection process and our nervous system allowing us to be calm and feeling safe and secure ourselves that then allows us to open up and build a connection with others. And in the training, we also talk about our nervous system being read by other people's nervous systems. And so really being conscious of our personal practice of nature connection as a facilitator on a regular basis as part of self-care, but while we are facilitating a program to ensure that we know which techniques can help us to feel grounded and support, whether that's connecting to a particular tree, holding a stone, having somebody in your pocket, feeling the earth beneath you, you know, all of these things. Yeah.
I'm trying to summarize this, but with what we have both learned in disability studies, these are tools by which we can break down barriers that people have put on us all. That is as simple as I can get. That's all what I wanted to say.
It's such a powerful thing what you've said, Punky. We can live with, you know, these various, like we call them differences or impairments or this and that, and they're real, they're part of our bodies. But it's when people don't accept us, when people don't believe us, when people don't create considerate spaces with ramps, when people choose not to schedule something in a certain kind of way, knowing that it means that we can't participate, you know, like all of these kinds of things, they happen on a daily basis for people with disabilities and chronic illness. And so when we can create a community where it's like, you can be you, you do what you need to do. If you want to tell us what you're doing and why, fine. If you don't, that's fine. There's no expectation. We trust that you know your body and your mind and your heart and your soul. What are you needing right now? We're here to facilitate that next step of nurturing. But it's you're each individual, you know, you're the partner in this process. Yeah.
And it's so rich to hear all of the different ways that you have made this more about ability. You know, this is the three little words. We've got that big word, ability, and that you're connecting with people that are in some of the social media columns. There are people that are calling themselves ableist and talking about being kinder and ways that we can work together. So we know, as you hear about all the destructive things in nature this weekend or through the week, know that nature is your friend, and you can go out and make friendship with a tree, a rock, or something that just helps to ground you and give you an appreciation for life. And if you want to know more, keep in touch with what's happening with EcoWisdom's website or ecowisdom.com. And we will be continuing this series of helping everyone to understand how nature really can provide for us, how nature is not something that you have to go away to do, but it's right there, how to use your things like your camera instead of taking pictures of robberies or crashes, taking pictures of some of the beautiful things you see, like I'm looking at Laurel's pictures of trees, the color changes. There's so many things that if you, with the self-appreciation, if you connect taking pictures of things you like, not something that you hope gets onto the 10 o'clock news. So thank you, each one of you. We look forward to sharing more of how eco-wisdom has made a difference in your life and the ways that you're helping to make other people feel community and feel love through these natural principles. And, you know, when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time.